Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. It is November 9th, 2014, with a multitude of news articles to take a look at. What will we examine this morning on Sunday before our preaching service here at Berean Baptist Church? We're going to look at a short, very short article from the, let me scroll up here, from Breitbart.com. It says, Pope Francis, quote, pagan Christians in name only are enemies of the cross. Now, I looked at the comments on Sermon Audio about this short article, and most of them just decided to take this opportunity to rip into the Pope and Roman Catholicism, and perhaps that is appropriate, but I don't want to focus on that right now. I want to focus on what the Pope actually said. Is there some truth in what the Pope said? Not all of those who claim to be Christians really are, said the Pope Francis Friday morning. Some are Christians in name only, he said. They bear the name Christians, but live a life of pagans. In his homily at Mass, so that's a sermon, the Pope that said that there are two types, that there had always been two types of Christians, those who truly followed Christ and those who only pretended to. At the time of Saint Paul, there were worldly Christians, Christians in name only, with two or three Christian features, but nothing more. The Pope called this sort of people, and I quote, pagan Christians, end quote, whom Saint Paul called enemies of the cross. Now, the article does not make particular reference to the verse, but it's Philippians 3:18. The New Living Translation says, for I have told you often before, I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. The ESV says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. The King James says, for many walk of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. And so the Pope decides this morning, in his homily, on this morning, that he's going to address this issue, that he's going to call the words of Paul up from Philippians and try to make them relevant to the 21st century. He says, in Paul's time, the Pope said there are two groups of Christians were in the church together, went to Mass on Sunday, praised the Lord, and were called Christians. So what was the difference, he asked? The second were enemies of the cross of Christ. Imagine such a thought. It's really mind-boggling, almost non-existent in the church, one that would just simply be rejected in most Baptist churches in America, that you could be in a congregation looking around to your left and right, in front of you, behind you, adjacent to you, and those sitting to your rear, and those on the wings of the church, and those standing with collection plates in hand, and those reading scripture, and those singing songs, and those singing in the choir, and that amongst that entire group of individuals, that there could be in the pulpit or outside the pulpit and on the pew or next to the pew or standing next to the pew or any number of locations in the nursery or teaching Sunday school. And these people are actually enemies of the cross. And here's the reality. You're not talking about our church. I mean, certainly that's not our church. I mean, we understand that they're there, but it couldn't be in our church. You see, in our church, we have legitimate reasons for everything that we do. Justifiable, legitimate reasons. I mean, when we commit adultery, it's somehow okay. When we miss church, it's okay. When we're rude, it's somehow justifiable. Because whatever we're doing, it's always okay. It's never sin. But the Pope says that in church together, they went to church together. He uses the word Mass. Doesn't matter if he uses the word Mass. Let's miss that. Let's not have that theological discussion this morning. Let's just look at, can we apply Philippians 3:18 to today. The Pope went on to say that there even today there are many, an explanation mark. We must be careful not to slip into the way of pagan Christians. These are the ones, he said, who are pagans painted over with two brush strokes of Christianity, so they look like Christians but are really pagans. They're heathens. What a strong word for the Pope to use this morning. He is to be commended for this particular message. According to Francis, we all run the risk of becoming Christians in appearance. We are tempted, he said, to mediocrity, and when Christians become mediocre, it is to their ruin because the heart cools and they become lukewarm. Francis reminded his hearers that Jesus used strong language to describe this sort of Christians. Because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And now, the article doesn't make particular reference to it, but we know that this is coming from the Apostle John and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. These, the Pope said, are enemies of the cross of Christ. They take the name Christian, but do not follow the requirements of Christian life. And just think about that phrase right there, the requirements of Christian life. And we would even be struggling with that very idea, the requirements. Well, that's legalistic, and yet clearly there are requirements of the Christian life. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being. That's a requirement. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. That is a requirement. You are to be kind. That is a requirement. There are requirements. And while the Pope's language of becoming a pagan would seem to suggest that one can lose their salvation, we know the Word of God does not teach such a thing. Yet at the same time, there is a reality in which Christians do become lukewarm. Even those who are truly born again become lukewarm. I could give you a list of names of Christians that were hot for Jesus. Hot for Jesus that are now lukewarm. Christians who taught Sunday school classes, who actively involved themselves into the ministry of the local New Testament church, who on a regular and consistent basis found themselves worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, participating in the Lord's Supper, actively engaged in church. And where are they today? You can't even find them. They are missing in action. They are absent without leave. Are we to believe that all of these people are converted? Is there any possibility that some of them were never born again? Are they all in an incredible state of backsliddenness? What should we say to this? What should we think of this? Have you ever considered such a thought? Paul said he wept over them. He cried tears over them. The Pope suggested that there are questions we can ask ourselves to know what sort of Christians we are. He said that all of us, the Pope included, need to ask ourselves, how much worldliness is in me? How much paganism is in me? What a great question. At what point does it become sin? Let's ask this question. If you're watching a movie, and it has some language in it, some sinful language. I mean, surely we all agree that the F-bomb is sinful. Surely we don't think that there's anyone in the English language domain that would find it acceptable to just use the F-bomb. So the movie that you're watching, it uses it once, is that sin? Is it uses it 10 times, is that sin? It uses it 50 times, is that sin? It uses it every minute for the entire movie of the every minute of the entire length of the movie, 95 references in a 96-minute movie. Is that sinful? At what point does it become sinful? Surely there's a line. The Pope has a reasonable question. I don't care if he's the leader of a cult right now. I'm not addressing that. I want to deal with his application of Philippians 3:18. Is it legitimate? I'm not getting in bed with Catholics. This is not an evangelical mix with Catholics. I'm just using the news article on sermon audio to address whether there's truth in his sermon. And I believe the answer is yes. Let's conclude. If you love money and are attracted to it, if you love vanity and pride, you are headed down a bad road, he said. If instead, he continued, if you try to love God and serve others, if you are gentle, if you are humble, if you are a servant of others, you are on the right path. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now we want to be careful. I don't want to apply that too loosely. We are not working our way to heaven. Doing good things does not mean that our citizenship is in heaven, but we can argue from the book of James unequivocally that faith, living, breathing, life-changing faith does produce good works. What are your thoughts? Have a great day. Post a comment here. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Thanks for listening.